It's time for Hoop Talk, presented by Olympia Orthopedic Associates on 95.3 KGY. A weekly look at high school basketball in the area with your hosts, Noel Wall and Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber.
And good morning. Welcome to our weekly high school sports roundup show. It is Hoop Talk, live from the waterfront studios of KGY. I'm Noel Wall, along with Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber, and today we're going to take a look at all the state boys and girls high school basketball tournament results, including a third-place finish for our Olympia boys in the 4A, and a fourth-place finish for the Tumwater boys in the 2A. Then at halftime today, Hoop Talk is going to, of course, take a break, which we always do at halftime, and then when we return, it'll be the baseline. Dave and I are going to take a look into the future of baseball, fast pitch, boys soccer, golf, tennis, track, field, you know, everything else. We got a lot to talk about, and we are going to start with the 1B, and I'm going to start with the girls each time, Dave. So number one, Mount Vernon Christian beat number three, Nia Bay, for the title. Again, both Nacelle and Willapa Valley traveled to the arena. Valley was eliminated on the first day. Nacelle beat Wellpoint to advance, but lost to the eventual champions the next day. And finally lost to Mossy Rock on Friday, finishing out of the standings in the consolation bracket. Any thoughts about the 1B girls, Dave? We don't cover a lot of that.
No, we don't, but I will stretch out the local angle on that one. And one of the coaches for Nia Bay is Abby Scott, who a lot of people in this area know from Indian Reservation tournaments. She's come up and played in those. She's from the Warm Springs tribe down in Oregon and also played on the New Mexico State team with my daughter that made a couple NC2A tournaments back a few years ago. So that's my local angle. Very big stretch there.
All right, there we go. The boys finished with number one and number two, and I think you're a big believer in number one and number two played each other for the title. Elmira Cootley Hartline beat Cusick. More locally, Nacelle and Willapa Valley both traveled to Spokane. Nacelle was eliminated on day one by Northwest Yeshiva. Went home empty-handed. Yeshiva beat Valley, but the following day, the Vikings were eliminated eventually in the consolation bracket there. Boys' comments.
Yeah, only comment there. Myra Cooley Hardline is always a top-notch team in eight-man football, so looks like they had some talent that translated over from football to basketball as well this time.
Yeah. Moving up to 2B for the girls, it was number two, Warden, over number three, Colfax, for the title. Rainier fell in the opener to Lake Roosevelt and was done. Raymond, who we talked about, lost a regional setup, and Adna won to give both teams Wednesday games in Spokane. Adna was eliminated by Chief Leschi, but the Seagulls beat Mabton to advance. And on Thursday, the Gulls were sent to the consolation bracket by eventually runner-up Colfax. Raymond did beat Chief Leschi Friday, but they did lose to LeConnor. They finished sixth for the Seagulls there.
Yeah, it sounds like about what you would have expected from the Central 2B teams in the state tournament. They had some good teams that nobody really great this year, so good that they were able to at least get into the state tournament and play a game or two, but wasn't anybody that was expected to go all the way this year out of that league.
Yeah. For the boys, number two, Liberty beat number four, Brewster, for the top spot. Adna and Napavine were both eliminated on the opening day. That was unfortunate. Morton White Pass did beat Northwest Christian, not the one we talk about a lot. And then they beat Colfax to advance to the quarterfinals. They lost to the eventual champs, Liberty, there. But they did bring home the fifth-place trophy, falling to Kalama in the third-place game.
Yeah, and that's Kalama out of that same group. So not local, but in the same league. So
yeah,
a little bit better showing there than in the girls.
1A, it was for the girls. Number one, Linden Christian, again, beat number two. That was Nooksack Valley this time for the championship. Both Tenino and Annie Wright, I talk about Annie Wright a little bit. We don't talk about them very often, but I grew up right down the street to them. They were always a girls' school, but they were both eliminated in the regionals. Montesano beat Zilla in regionals to earn a Tuesday bye. Bulldogs beat Freeman before falling to the eventual champs on Friday. Dogs played Cashmere and for third, but came out finishing fifth.
Oh, that's an interesting matchup there. Cashmere, of course, is always will be known as the school that Kobe Bryant and his daughter flew in a private jet to watch a 1A high school basketball game because they had Haley Van Lith at that time, who's now a major part of the team at Louisville.
Yeah.
So they're a power. And Montesano, you know, they had a good team. It'd be interesting to see if they were at full strength. They had some injury problems coming down the stretch. But always a very physical team and pretty good team. And no doubt we'll be back next year. It's going to be interesting to see. They lose some people. Tenino loses Ashley Scow. It'll be interesting to see who is predominant in the 1A EVCO next year.
Yeah. All right. For the 1A boys, it was number one and number two playing for the big trophy, but it was number two, Linden Christian, beating Kings to come out on top. Let's see. Eatonville lost in the regionals. There was no school that we really ever talk about in the bracket here. Again, I go back to Annie Wright of Tacoma, though. They were there for the boys, beating Seattle Academy to advance, falling to Kings on Thursday. The Gators were eliminated Friday by Zilla. And as I said, Dave, when I grew up, Annie Wright was an all-girls school, no boys.
Yeah, there's a lot of the ending of that and schools going co-ed over the last over the last period since you probably graduated high school, it's been a lot more of teams, schools blending together.
Yeah.
That at one point were only for one gender or the other. Some of them stay the same. There's a lot of them that have a matching school. O'Day has Holy Names up in Seattle. Down in the Bay Area, De La Salle, which is a nationally known football power, they have a girls' school right across the driveway called Carondelet. So it still exists that there will be a single gender school, but not as prevalent as in past.
Yeah, yeah. Back when I was growing up, Charles Wright, same Wright family, that was the boys' school. They started allowing girls back when I was in high school, so that was a big change there. All right, well, there we have our first round of kind of looking at the playoff brackets. We're going to be back with the rest of them, and then we are going to talk about baseball, fast pitch, and some other stuff later on in the show. First, though, traffic, weather, look at our sponsors, what they have to say. You're listening to Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
No collisions or stalls reported throughout the greater Olympia area. If you're heading out of town, southbound 405 at I-5 in the South Center area, we do have a collision partially blocked in the right lane. Well, something to watch out for there. Also, no restrictions for Stevens or Snoqualmie passes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm John Nelson.
95.3 KGY is welcoming the Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald to the Washington State Fair Friday, September 23rd. So join me, Mr. Stein, at 420 every day this week as we roll out some Doobie Brothers hits with your chance to win tickets. I'll ask a trivia question. To win, text me the answer. It's going to be great. The Doobie Brothers live with Michael McDonald at the Washington State Fair this September with me, Mr. Stein, and your friends at 95.3 KGY.
Sponsored by WhatsApp. No one should read your personal messages. That's why WhatsApp uses end-to-end encryption. It protects whatever you send before, during, and after you send it. So no one, not even WhatsApp, can read your messages. Always message privately. WhatsApp.
95.3 KGY is welcoming the Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald to the Washington State Fair Friday, September 23rd. So join me, Mr. Stein, at 420 every day this week as we roll out some Doobie Brothers hits with your chance to win tickets. I'll ask a trivia question. To win, text me the answer. It's going to be great. The Doobie Brothers live with Michael McDonald at the Washington State Fair this September with me, Mr. Stein, and your friends at 95.3 KGY.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as your pain and disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years. A firm like Putnam, Lee, Potvin, Daly. Catherine Plotvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Federco. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam, Lieb, Plotvin, Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of pizza? Obviously. But as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
You march to your own drum and no one else's. You need a car that gets you. The 2022 Kia Forte packs in everything you want. Advanced technology, sleek style, and state-of-the-art connectivity. Plus, 2.75% financing for up to 66 months. Drive your music in a new Kia Forte. Where will your Kia take you? Find yours at Hanson Kia in the Olympia Auto Mall and HansonKia.com.
Sales prices are plus tax and less than negotiable $150 documentary service fee. Subject to credit approval by DMF. Offer ends 3/31/2022. See dealer for details.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome back. You are with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, on Hoop Talk, KGY's own and Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. And we thank sponsors like McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances. They will make your life easier. You can find McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Also, we are here due to the good graces of Choice Regional Health Network. They are your partner for community health and services. And we're moving on to number two, or 2A, I should say, where number two, Ellensburg, beat number eight, Burlington Edison, for the top prize. As we covered last week, Tumwater girls came in number one, highly thought of, lost to eventual champion Burlington Edison in the regional setup, and then were eliminated Wednesday by number nine, West Valley of Spokane. Other schools we talk about, though, once in a while, WF West beat Linden Wednesday to advance. They played Hudson's Bay, who they beat before being sent to consolation bracket by eventual runner-up Ellensburg Friday. Bearcats finished fifth, fell to Prosser in the third-place matchup.
Yeah, WF West was always thought to be neck and neck with Tumwater. They took a couple of spankings from Tumwater during the regular season this year, but always talked about as one of the better teams. They have obviously have a Division I talent in Drea Brumfield to help them and some other really good players. So not surprising to see them do well. Was a bit of a surprise to see Tumwater go out early, and it was, you know, all kinds of I think I bring this up every week. Was it a coincidence or an irony? I don't know the difference sometimes, but they lost to West Valley to be eliminated. It was 2 years ago in the 2020 tournament where they were leading West Valley seconds from the end to go to the championship game. And a West Valley girl threw up a crazy shot that banked in at the buzzer to defeat Tumwater and deny them a chance to go to the championship game. And this year, a lot of people thought they would make it, not only make it to that championship game, but win it. They did not. And it was if people were paying attention, you saw the team that ended up winning it come to life in the regional by beating Tumwater. And that, of course, was Burlington Edison. They had to travel all the way down to Chehalis and play Tumwater on what amounted to a semi-home court for Tumwater since it was closer. But they lost that one, and that sparked Burlington Edison, obviously, to do really well. And Tumwater couldn't revive itself when it got out to Yakima and ended up getting eliminated in the first round.
Yeah. On the boys' side, and I'm reading my notes, they're a little convoluted. Number two, Linden, beat number four, Pullman, to finish first. I know I got that part right. Tumwater boys entered at number five. They were beat by eventual runners-up in the regionals. They did then beat Grandview on Wednesday to advance, but fell on Thursday to number three, R.A. Long. They did, though, get a solid win over Seaholm Friday and then beat Port Angeles and somewhere, I don't know. Yeah, no, that adds up, right? Beat Port Angeles on Saturday to bring home the fourth place trophy.
That is correct. And they finished at 22-6 on the year. And more importantly, that Saturday game was the fourth place game in the state tournament. They win it for their best finish in 46 years.
Incredible.
1975-76 T-Birds finished third in 3A. They were up a division at that point. They came back, lost to R.A. Long, which was the same team that defeated them for the district title, and then had to come back the very next day to play Seaholm, and they beat them 62-47. And in that one, somebody we'll hear from in a minute, the EVCO MVP, Luke Brewer, a junior guard, he erupted for 28 points to lead them past Seaholm. Andrew Collins added 14. And then you got a little bit of that storyline kind of thing, or poetic justice, whatever you want to call it. In the game against Port Angeles, the guard-heavy T-Birds were led by their inside players as Ryan Otten and Adam Overbay led Tumwater to a 50-45 win over Port Angeles. Otten, who, of course, everyone knows will play football at the University of Washington, he had a 12-point, 13-rebound double-double, while Overbay scored 13 points in the title game. Both seniors and both forwards, not that the guards took the night off. I'm sure they were doing all of the good things, but the two top scorers were seniors playing in their last game. So always a nice thing to see that.
It really is. And you had a chance to talk with Luke Brewer a day or so ago, and here is that interview right here.
So, Luke, this year, Tumwater finished with its best finish at state in nearly half a century, well before you guys were born. What made this year's team so good?
This year's team, I mean, the junior class was strong. We've been playing since we were really young. I mean, so we had that chemistry kind of built up since we were young. But, like, this year was kind of different. We were all bought into our circle, our team circle. We just didn't really have any team outside factors kind of leaking into our circle and messing things up. And then, I mean, our relationships were strong. And this year we just kind of bought in defense also. Our defense was our go-to. And that's, we repped it in practice and just tried to be the best defensive team in the state.
Speaking of defense, looking on the other side of the ball on offense, it seemed like you guys really took off when your senior inside players, Ryan and Adam, started to score a little bit more. It seemed like that gave you guys a little bit more balance and things got even better.
Yeah, it sure did. I mean, it opened up outside shots because they were becoming more of a threat inside, which gave our shooters better looks. So, yeah, that really helped.
Yeah, so when you go to state, and this is not just you guys, but any team, but you guys handled it particularly well, you got to play every single day. So you come out and you lose to R.A. Long, and then you came back and won two more games to get that fourth place trophy. What do you have to do when you're beaten in a game like that, and then you got to come right back and play the next day or you're out?
Our coach was saying it's pretty much like the team that comes out with a better mindset is going to be the one that wins it, because you can't be the tired, sore loser mindset team, and you just got to play your hardest.
Were you able to forget about the loss by the time you got on the court the next day?
Yeah, we were able to. I mean, we went back to the hotel, recovered, and we just tried to have fun. I mean, having fun was what helped us. And
did you guys do something that night to kind of break the bad feeling of losing? Did you do anything particularly fun that night? Or
we all hung out in one room, like, in particular, just so we could all be together as one, not just, like, leaking out and just being alone in one room. We didn't really do anything outside of the hotel, but we just relaxed in one room and all hung out.
So then when you beat Seaholm, did you really feel strongly that, yeah, now we're going to get this last one as well?
I mean, we did feel strong, but we needed to get that last one for the seniors. So we weren't satisfied. We did feel good, but we needed to get the last one.
Can you mention doing it for the seniors? So you got that done. And now what do you have left? Obviously, but I know what you're going to say because you want to win the whole state. But what do you see going forward for the junior class as you become seniors next year?
I think we have a lot of potential. We didn't lose. We're really guard heavy, so we might struggle on the boards, having a post presence on defense, like having a big like Ryan Otten was really, really helpful. So, I mean, we're going to be lacking a big post presence in the paint, but we're really looking forward to next year, and we're going to work really hard over this offseason, and we're hoping to place higher than we placed this year.
Obviously, you play a lot of basketball. How do you work around not having or Ryan at the back of your defense. If you don't have that 6'7" guy, what do you need to do better on defense?
We just got to keep our guys in front. We can't really let, because with Ryan, you could just let him go by you a little bit, in the sense that you know you have someone that can just block their shot coming up behind you. But, I mean, we're just going to have to keep everyone's going to have to keep the defender in front of them and hopefully not let him get all the way to the hoop, because that's what we're going to be lacking, is a post presence that can't just help.
So are you going to be playing some AAU ball, I assume, during the offseason?
Yes, sir.
Who do you play with?
I play with Roots at Southtown Roots.
Well, good luck with that, and good luck next season. You guys were fun to watch this year, and hopefully next year just as much so.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tom Water Jr., Luke Brewer right there, talking about, this year's activity. He sounds a lot like leadership material to me, Dave. And we're also talking about a lot of experience that Tumwater got playing every day in the tournament this year.
Yeah, they did. And they went out of state, played down in Arizona, saw some different teams from around the country. So they're a seasoned team now going into the last year for some of the guards. Now, it's interesting to me when you talk about leadership material, how, you know, the setup, I gave him the setup, you know, oh, we're going to win state next year now that we got this close. But he recognized the shortcomings, and he's, talking about what they need to address those shortcomings. And if he's not alone in that and they find a semblance of somebody to play in the post, Tom Water is going to be tough next year.
Yeah, yeah, they will. That'll be exciting to see as we move on. We move on to 3A, where in the girls' side, number 2 Garfield took the honors, beating number 4 Lake Washington by 1 point in the final. North Thurston and Peninsula were each eliminated in the play-in games. Gig Harbor bowed out in the regionals, and Dave, there was no one left that we ever mentioned.
No, there really wasn't, but you know, the thing about, I think I probably, people that follow this stuff are probably tired of me talking about it, but you couldn't have a much better season unless you did win state than North Thurston did during the short little spring season, because it's COVID-19 shortened season with no tournaments. They finished only 4-8. Then they came back this year. I don't have it in front of me, but they won well over 20 games, went to state, even though they got knocked out in the regional round. What an improvement. They will lose their late-blooming senior star, Tay Birdtail, who will be playing somewhere in college next year. Slated right now for a smaller school, but probably does have Division I ability. She'll be gone, but they have Soraya Olgadez, who's a sensational freshman point guard. So it could be that North Thurston has turned the corner. We talked about this before, how Lacey has 3 high schools, and they've all kind of taken their turn in girls basketball for a long time. River Ridge was completely dominant, which is kind of hard to remember since they're not very good at this point, but they won a couple of state championships back at the beginning of the century. Then Timberline kind of took over for a 5 or 6 year span, went to state, only got to the regional round, but they went 3 times. And now you got the Rams, you know, coming up and having an unbelievable season compared to what they've done recently. And it'll be interesting to see how they go forward. But, you know, one and out, yes, but just a fantastic turnaround year for North Thurston.
Yeah, exactly. For the boys, it was number three, Auburn, overcoming number four, Rainier Beach, to take home the title. Number six, Gig Harbor, posted a regional win over number three, O'Day, to earn a Wednesday bye. But the Tides could not keep up with Rainier. Over O'Day. Did I say Rainier Beach? They couldn't keep up with Rainier Beach. They went to the consolation bracket, lost to Montlake Terrace by a couple, and were eliminated. And we know Timberline fell to number one Garfield in a regional seeding game. The Blazers were eliminated by Montlake Terrace on Wednesday. But I do have a tiny bit of that Alan Thomas interview where he talks about next year. And, Dave, they certainly are they certainly have something to look forward to next year is what I would say.
Oh, they've got a lot to look forward to next year. They lose a quality player in Tyler Noe, who was kind of like their sixth man this year. But they still have the big guy that they – not big guy, but, well, sort of big, 6'4", 6'5", guy they rely on the most in Brooklyn Hicks. They'll have Miles Gursky back. They have a lot of guys that are pretty good. So that'll be – should be yet another good Timberline team. Just before we do get to Allen, though, just want to mention that Auburn – which kind of was an upsetter in beating Rainier Beach. They've been selected to a championship tournament of champions nationally now to play, okay. As Graham Kapowson kind of played in that bowl game in football. Similar type of an idea. And I think, you know, when the organizers of that tournament decided they would invite a Washington team, they were thinking Rainier Beach. But that wasn't going to happen. And now Auburn, which... it's hard to call them an upsetter. They're a very good team, but they'll be going to play nationally.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of fun. All right. Well, here is Timberline coach Alan Thomas talking a little bit about what he sees for next year.
It's a pretty young team you have. I mean, you guys got pretty much everyone back. How excited are you just to build on this for next year?
Always huge. Like tonight, we start a freshman that hasn't started a whole year, Kenyon Simmons, and trying to give him a taste of what could be a big year defensively for him and Jackson Brown the next year. And then we have to work in the offseason on finding two or three guys that can give us those 5 minutes.
So the bigs that you have a couple of bigs sitting there in Ethan and Gage, are they prospects, or are they just kind of football guys that are out there, or are they going to be good?
Well, one's a football guy, Gage Page, who was a first-team all-league kicker. He's going to be a force. This is his first year playing basketball, so I think that he has a bright future. And then Ethan Cornwell, he will look to step in, hopefully, and give a lot more minutes, either as a starter or a backup starter.
Would you look at, if they were able to do that, would you look at Daryl as more of a 3-4 type guy?
Yes.
Stuff use him as a post?
Yes. Yeah. We'll probably venture him out to be the 4 and the 3. But he's just, when he gets his seals inside and when he gets touches and looks, and gets comfortable, he had a great game today. I mean, he had 13 and 15 rebounds. So he's a better defensive player than, he kind of gets credit for. I expect him to be a major force inside or outside for us next year.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Al.
All right. That was Timberline boys basketball coach Alan Thomas talking about what he sees for next year for the team.
Well, one thing in there that just kind of sails by, and then you stop and think about it for a minute. He says this was Gage Pedro's first year playing basketball. He's a sophomore in high school, and we're living in an era where parents sign their kids up for pre-K teams and think that that's the start of a career, and they've got the kids going to camp, and they've got them working with individual trainers and, everything under the sun from the minute they can walk practically. And here's a kid that was able to come in and didn't play very much this year at all, to be honest, but gets a nod from his coach as a possible force in the future. Kind of a new thing to behold, that not a new thing, a new old thing, like the olden times where you could suddenly decide to go out for basketball and actually make a difference for your team. So we'll be watching him next year to see how well he does. But Timberline with their big three all back, and Hicks, Kersky, and Daryl Gibson, they're going to be contended with.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yep. All right, on to 4A where the girls, it was again number one and number two playing for the title. Woodinville ranked number one, beat number two Sumner by 2 points for the championship. We're going to get to Olympia's girls who played in the regionals but were eliminated by Moses Lake in a moment. But for the rest of it, we do talk about Bellarmine Prep. They were number eight. They were eliminated by number nine Camas on Wednesday. We talk about Rogers. They came in at number 13, earning a trip to the Dome by beating Issaquah in the regionals. They were eliminated in the opening round by number four Lake Stevens. And number six Emerald Ridge fell in the regionals to number three Pasco to set up a Wednesday game with Moses Lake. Ridge advanced to the semis with a win, but were sent to consolation by number five Eastlake. The Jaguars were eliminated then by Richland. And again, we did have Olympia's girls playing, but being knocked out by Moses Lake, Dave.
Yeah, that was too bad for them. We didn't mention it last week. I don't know why. It just slipped my mind to get them in there, which I apologize for. But they ended up finishing 20-8. They went to the regional round, which was played at Tumwater two Saturdays ago. Lost that game 52-39, but their junior inside player, Natalia McBride, she led the Bears with 15 points. And Ava Wolin, who's been their big gunner for the last few years, she ended up with 8 points in her final game for Olympia. Don't have her in my notes to talk about for spring sports, so I'll throw it in right now. Ava Wolin is one of the better track athletes around here. She's, I think the 400 meters is her top event, and rumor had it that she has been leaning more towards track than basketball, so we'll see more from her. But wanted to mention with the Natalia McBride, I was able to see the Bears play, and she is the epitome of playing within herself. And sometimes that means somebody's not very good, but no, she is a good player. She does the things she does well when they present themselves, but doesn't try to do things she's not ready to do yet. And that's a little bit of leadership by example, and being a bigger player and playing in the middle, that gives the Bears somebody to build around for sure next season.
All right. And again, looking forward to next season. 4A boys, it was number two and number one. Curtis, number two, beat number one Mount Si in the final by 3 points to win. We had some exciting championship games this year. Curtis had earned a Wednesday bye by beating Davis in the regionals. The Vikings then beat Gonzaga and Union on their way to the finals. We mentioned Federal Way once in a while. They came in number nine, beat number 16 Eastmont in the regionals, but were eliminated by Gonzaga. And Graham Kapowsin, who we hear a lot about in football especially, beat number 10 Glacier Peak to get to the Dome. GK advanced with a win over Davis, but was sent to consolation by Mount Si on Thursday, and then were eliminated by number 5 Tacoma. The Olympia boys were number 11. They earned their trip to the Dome, beating number 14 Jackson in the regionals. They advanced with a Wednesday win over number 6 Mariner, always an underdog. The Bears then beat number 5 Tahoma in the quarterfinals, but they fell in the semis to number 1 Mount Si, finishing third with a win over Union in the consolation final.
Yeah, they got 3 wins in the tournament, or in the Tacoma Dome, all of which over teams ranked or seeded 6th or higher, and they're the 11th seed. So that was a nice little run there. That was kind of an upsetter type run. Unfortunately, it did not include knocking off the top-ranked school, Mount Si, which might have actually led to a state title for Olympia. I think this is in the interview with Coach Kiley, but they moved the ball really well, took some good shots on balance, had some guys come through that weren't among their leading scorers all the time. So they got everything you need to be an upsetter. Just couldn't quite get there. But this was like the Tumwater boys. This was a milestone finish for the Bears. Coming in third in the 4A tournament, that's their highest finish since the 1997-98 Bears lost the 3A title game to Rainier Beach. And that was a very tight battle, 44-40, or the Bears might have got that one 24 years ago. But, you know, after the top-seeded Mount Si eliminated the Bears 53-39 in their semifinal on Friday night, they had about 19 hours to come back. Actually, less than that, because that would have been from the start time. So more like 17 and a half hours to come back and play against the third seed, Union. And the Bears did a wonderful job in that game, beat them 57-48. Looking at the box score and putting together today's show, there was only one lead change in that game, so Olympia got ahead, stayed ahead. Union was never really out of it, but it was Olympia in control most of the way. And in that game, junior forward Andreas Engholm, who the last half of the year was kind of a revelation for the Bears. He's always been a good player, but he was averaging a double-double down the stretch, so good game with him with 15 points. Senior Caden Roth, who I talked to afterwards, had 12. And their backup post, Cree Barna, came off the bench and chipped in 10 points. And he usually just plays a few minutes here and there to back up Engholm, but he was on his game in that one. So they got good games from just about everybody to pull off that third-place victory. And going back to the semifinal against Mount Si, junior guard Parker Garrett, who is normally one of their top scorers, he had 19 points and 7 rebounds to get them to that. Well, not to get them to it because they lost, but to set up the third-place trophy game.
Yeah, that was quite something. And you were there courtside for that third-place game and got this bit of information from Caden Roth. Here's that interview.
Hey, what happened to your ankle there for a moment?
We were running 2-1-2 when they were on a 1-2-2 press. I was in the middle. I came up, had to catch the ball. Their big guy was right up on me trying to get pressure. I think I landed on his foot. I don't know. I rolled really bad. I haven't rolled my ankle since 7th grade. That pop just kind of scared me.
Yeah, I was sitting right there. Cry out a little bit. How hard was it for you guys to lose last night and come back less than 24 hours later?
It was really hard in the locker room for a long, long time. Came back to the school last night, had a big meeting. Knowing what to do off the court, how to stay connected, play with a lot of joy. Today, we took the joy factor. Warm-ups, we were super energetic, having a lot of fun. It was our last game ever playing together. So, yeah, the loss is always tough, but it's just how you bounce back. Coach Kelly always harps on how you're going to take sports into your life and how you bounce back from something going down. So, we bounced back today. People might not want to try this game, but we do want to try and show everyone a little bit of basketball all about.
Yeah, last question. You kind of alluded to it. Your senior year, highest finish ever for Ole in a long, long time. How good did you feel to go out with that kind of finish?
It feels great, especially last year with having COVID. Our team was really good. Couldn't have the state championship, but I wish we would have. So, this was just for all those guys and those past Bear players. We have decades of guys texting our coach, wishing us good luck. So it's a brotherhood that we have here at Olympia, and it's just great to play for all those before us.
All right, that's all.
Thanks,
Olympia senior basketball player Caden Roth and somebody's drumline in there. Here is Coach John Kiley.
I haven't seen you play that much, but that was great ball movement, it looked like to me.
I think that is a staple of how we play. I feel like that's, we preach it, and when we do it, I think it's a thing of beauty. We don't always do it, but I thought today we did a nice job of that.
John, I know you guys didn't get the result you wanted yesterday, but today, what did it take to just come back here and, I mean, get the best finish since 98 this year?
You know, honestly, it was, it stung. And this morning, I told the guys, I didn't think I'd be ready until 1 o'clock, but at 1 o'clock, the bell rang, and the guys did a great job. And you can see they wanted this today.
Yep.
And you know, Union's a storied program, and so it was an important game for us to just end, especially with our seniors, but with a bitter taste last night, to end on a good note. I'm so proud of our guys.
What about your defense? It seemed pretty good as well.
Yeah, that's our staple.
Yeah.
So, you know, last night I thought the first half we did a great job, and then Mount Si's Mount Si, and we couldn't continue to do that. I thought tonight we started up 10-2 or whatever it was. I thought that established the game that we wanted. And then offensively, I thought we played pretty well, too.
So the 98 team that took second, what year were you in at that point?
That was my 5th year as a head coach.
Okay. Is it exciting, to get, another, third place?
But you know what's interesting? Let me give you some which ages me. The last time we were in the state semifinals in Tacoma was my first year as a head coach when I was 24 in 1993, and we got third place. So we played Centralia, Lyle Overbay. 29 years later, we got third place at the Tacoma Dome.
Wow.
So I'm old. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, as old as me, so you know, you don't get in. So you don't have too many seniors. It's just a group you can come back with next year and maybe do even better.
You know, our goal is to win the state championship this year. Our goal will be to win the state championship next year.
All right, very good.
Thank you guys so much.
Olympia coach John Kiley right there. Goal is to win the state championship.
Well, and you know, Caden Roth alluded to this as well. last year they had a real shot at that. They still had Jackson Grant, 6'10 post players at UW now. They had some other supporting players that they didn't have this year, so they had to develop some new backups and role players. So that was really their year, quote unquote, that they'd been building towards, and they didn't get to have it because of COVID. So different group coming back into it for the 2023 season, and we'll see if they can end this particular window with a victory.
Yeah, there we go. Well, thank you very much for all of that. That wraps up basketball for 2021 and 2022 for this season. When we come back, baseball, fast pitch, it's spring. It's the baseline. But first, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. For the moment, it's Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
It's been a fairly decent drive for your South Sound commute. Looking really good right now through the Olympia area. We do have an accident block on the right lane in Tacoma, Highway 509 near Alexander. We had a collision in the South Center area, 405 at I-5. That is cleared as well. No restrictions for your mountain passes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm John Nelson.
Since 1922, the South Sound has listened to KGY, and we want to listen to you. This year, KGY is celebrating its 100th birthday, and we want to know what your KGY memories are. Do you have any old memorabilia laying around that you would like to share with us? We're talking audio recordings, photos, stickers, flyers, and other collectibles. Maybe you've worked here, or you know somebody who has worked for KGY. We just want to hear from you. Let us know how KGY has impacted your life by going to KGYFM.com and clicking on the KGY 100th birthday link today.
For the first time in 25 years, the Doobie Brothers, Tom Johnson, Michael McDonald, Pat Simmons, and John McPhee, live in concert. It's the Columbia Bank Concert Series of the Washington State Fair. Come celebrate your state with the Doobie Brothers, Friday, September 23rd. Reserve tickets on sale Saturday at thefair.com. Come celebrate your state at the Washington State Fair in Puyallup, September 2nd through September 25th.
Maybe you run or just run errands. Either way, you're moving. At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, we offer a full range of services to diagnose, treat, or repair any concerns that you have with your foot or ankle. With multiple locations throughout the Pacific Northwest, we have a team dedicated to providing a positive office experience. We have the resources you need to help you return to a full and active lifestyle.
Helping you put your best foot forward. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBox Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut Rate's Do It Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do It Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
Cut Rate Auto Parts.
We got your part.
Sports Fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia, online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
Cloudy with highs on the pleasant side of the mid-50s. Mild south breezes turning southwest through the evening. Overnight lows in the mid-30s to low 40s. A good chance of rain for the weekend.
95.3 Olympia's KGY.
Let her go.
Oh, good morning and welcome to the upbeat music. We are here to celebrate the baseline, the line you run when you run the bases. Thurston County's High School Sports Roundup Show starts right now at, 8:45. We kick off another season of covering spring sports. You are with Dave and Noel, and we're here thanks to sponsors like Putnam Lead, Potvin Daily, taking the insult out of injury, Premier Workers' Compensation, and Car Accident Attorneys. Also, Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's parts, and L&E Bottling, your local Pepsi dealer. Distributor, I should say, proud to support high school sports coverage. You can get your Pepsi down on the corner, just whisper a little bit. It is the baseline, and we are here to talk about baseball, fast pitch, and some other stuff. And Dave, I think a disclaimer is in order. We don't know everything.
No, we really don't. This is based heavily on what happened last season. It would have been really tough to call all the coaches. I think you make clear every week that we cover 14 schools and we're talking about like five or six different sports at each one. No way to really run down for a short segment like this. If everybody's really still at that school, we assume sure. that they are. Some of them we know they are because they competed in the different sports. But just a quick look at who some of the top performers were last season in spring sports. And I'm sure 95% of them are right back where they were, and we're not going to have any errors here. But if there is one, that's why, because we didn't have time to confirm everything. So we're just kind of not really predicting the future, but talking about the past.
There we go.
And assuming that some of those people will affect the future.
Doing what we can. You bet. And we'll start small and then go big at the end. So that's Pope John Paul II and the Eagles.
Well, this is pretty accurate, I would assume, unless there's been an injury. That's the other possibility, that someone could be at their school and ready to compete, but they're hurt. But the Eagles won the girls' state 1B-2B cross-country championship led by Claire Conrad, and their boys' team finished second in the boys' cross-country during the fall. So look for JP2 to be tough on the track, at least in the distance events, coming up here in the spring.
Okay, and Northwest Christian Wolverines.
Very similar. The Wolverines, for whatever reason, were not as strong team-wise during the fall as they usually are for cross country. They've had nationally ranked teams among small high schools before. This year they did not finish high as a team in the state meet, but they had a pair of Ingrams. Asher Ingram finished third as an individual for the boys, and freshman Madison Ingram pace the girls' team, and so they should have at least a strong distance portion of their track meets come the spring.
All right.
Well, come the spring, we're into the spring. So.
We are. So technically a couple of days away, but not too far.
Yeah.
Up to 2B and Rainier, the Mountaineers.
Yeah, on the boys' side, they have discus thrower Jeremiah Nubby. He set a bunch of records last year, discus. Also the hammer, which isn't competed during the meets in high school, but for his club team, he did some great stuff with that. He's already committed to the University of Texas, but he has another season, so I'm assuming we'll see him out there.
I guess I didn't realize that he had another season. I thought he was graduated and was gone.
Nope, just a junior last year, so he'll be around for another year. Well, I assume he will, as we said yeah. earlier. For the girls' softball, Bailey Elwell pitched and hit with equal ability for the Mountaineers last season, struck out 121 batters, including 19 in a single game against Stevenson. And if that wasn't enough, she batted 514. So they've got some talent on the diamond as well.
All right. Very, very good. Let's see. That was Rainier. We go to Tenino.
Yeah, Tenino, their highlight in the spring has been their softball team. And pitcher Emily Baxter, another one who was signed with a college, she signed with Dominican University in New York, struck out a straight high 207 batters.
Wow.
Through three no-hitters last year. So she's pretty darn good. And then she has another player with her who is on the Olympians all-area team, and we know she is at Tenino because she played soccer and basketball, and that's Abby Severse. So she's another strong player for the all-area, well, was on the all-area team, but a strong player for the Beavers this season.
Very good. We'll move up to 2A, where we got a few schools to talk about. Let's begin with Rochester and the Warriors.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're starting with Rochester because I really don't have too much about Shelton yet. We'll see how their teams do as they go along. And also Black Hills, we're kind of waiting to see what those teams do as they develop. But on for Rochester, a couple of strong players on the boys' side, one in soccer. Alexis Castillo Corona was the Evergreen Conference Offensive Player of the Year as a junior. And in baseball, Tony Groninger was a hard hitter who also starred as a pitcher. So a couple of strong players at the ready for the Warriors.
All right. And then if we don't have really much to talk about for Shelton or Black Hills, we move on to Tumwater and the T-Birds.
Yeah, not to say that Shelton and Black Hills don't have some people. We'll see who they are as the season goes underway. Tumwater, really good job in the boys' team sports last spring. They won the District 4 soccer championship, finished 11-0-1, and they reached the title game in baseball before losing to WF West. On the diamond, they have Washington State-bound pitcher Ryan Orbach. He finished 2021 with a 0.44 earned run average.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's back along with first baseman Alex Overbay, who, of course, is the son of their new coach, Lyle Overbay, who was named the All-Area Coach of the Year by the Olympian and had that program going in a great direction by the time all was said and done. Soccer, midfielder Zach Schmidt was a junior, and he scored 14 goals. So that could be a good one for them. Softball is going to be an interesting thing at Tumwater. They have Taylor Martinez back. She was the 2A EVCO Offensive Player of the Year. She can catch. She can play either of the corner infield spots. But even more interesting, not necessarily a better player, but interesting in the sense that she kind of fell out of nowhere for them. Allie Waltermeyer, who's been playing basketball for them as well, she transferred from Olympia mid-year last year after earning 4A SPSL South MVP honors for Olympia, where she batted 670 against 4A competition. So now she does, fits in at 2A. Be interesting to see how she fares there. She played softball for Olympia and then wound up at Tumwater, I believe, in time for basketball season. Because if you remember last year in that compacted COVID situation, spring sports came before winter sports.
Right.
So she played for Olean in softball, then came to Tumwater for basketball. T-Birds are looking pretty good in all the team sports that will be played in the spring.
That sounds like a lot of fun. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to, including we're going to look forward to taking a look at 3A teams and our 4A Olympia Bears and, you know, kind of what is going to happen here for spring sports coming up just right around the corner. It is almost spring. But before we do that, look at traffic, weather, and, of course, those words from our sponsors. Don't go away. You're listening to The Baseline on Olympia's 95.3 KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
It's been a fairly decent drive for your South Sound commute. Looking really good right now through the Olympia area. We do have an accident block on the right lane in Tacoma. Highway 509 near Alexander. We had a collision in the South Center area, 405 at I-5. That is cleared as well. No restrictions for your mountain passes. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm John Nelson.
Sponsored by Lowe's. Sign up for Lowe's MVP's Pros Awards and Partnership Program and get exclusive rewards to help level up your business. Program subject to terms and conditions valid through 12/31/22. See Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Subject to change.
Are we ready for a little fun?
Yes.
This is Rick Dees. I can't wait to meet you here this weekend. The weekly Top 40 Countdown is ready to go. Do we have some Dees Lees for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go out on a limb with the weekly Top 40 Sure Shot. You can win huge prizes.
I'm amazed.
The weekly Top 40 Countdown here this weekend. We'll see you.
Rick Dees Retro Top 40 this Saturday from 8 o'clock right here at Olympia's KGY.
If you have COVID-19 tests at home, you've probably wondered, when should I use them? Sometimes are better than others. If you have COVID symptoms, take a test. If you've had an exposure but no symptoms, wait 5 days to test. If you want to be sure you don't have COVID before meeting up with others, test as shortly beforehand as possible. That's all there is to it. Just follow the directions in the package. To learn more, visit doh.wa.gov/testing. A message from the Washington State Department of Health.
Sports fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia, online at spinteesprints.com. Friends Spin Tees on Facebook.
It's time to explore. Find your new adventure in your brand new 2022 Subaru Outback with 2.9% for up to 72 months. With standard all-wheel drive, the Subaru Outback is engineered to go anywhere. See all the colors of spring in a Subaru Outback. Whether it's down the road or across the country, Hanson Motors wants you to see it and experience it all.
Where will your new Subaru take you? Find yours at Hanson Subaru in the Olympia Auto Mall and at HansonSubaru.com.
Financing and approval credit for Subaru Motors credit. Negotiable $150 down payment service fee may be added to the sale price. Offer expires 3/31/2022.
Hi, this is Greg Seals from Crane's Total Office. 37 years ago this month, I came to work at Crane's. Many things have changed, but one thing that remains consistent is the service level that we provide. Whether you're a big business, small business, or working from home, we'll always have you covered with every office supply and furniture that you may need. And we deliver. Please remember to shop local. It keeps our local economy strong. Visit us in-store or online at cranesoffice.com.
Crane's Total Office is the official office supply store of 95.3 KGY.
I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent, with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and he can't take it with him. Well, I went to work and found Ray, who's 40 and takes medication to control his high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's way more coverage for a lot less than what he was paying. If SelectQuote didn't shop for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote and to find out how much you can save, call 1-800-597-2010. That's 1-800-597-2010. 1-800-597-2010. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
95.3 Olympia's KGY. Let her go.
And we are back with the baseline, our first look into spring. And you are with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall. We are here thanks to people like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, celebrating 20 years, helping patients get up and moving and maintaining good health. You can find Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees Prints, they do excellent work. I recommended them to somebody just the other day. You can find Spin Tees at their new location behind Minuteman Press in West Olympia, or better yet, find them online at spinteesprints.com. We're up to 3A. Dave, and I don't know where you want to start, maybe River Ridge? How's that sound?
Yeah, that looks good to me. That's the first one on my list.
Okay.
So. Couple of people that to talk about, they had a new soccer coach last year, Kristen Lukanen, who had been the girls' coach, took over for the boys as well. They had some good players, but they were all seniors. But Coach Lukanen leading the Hawks to a perfect 9-0 record and the 3A South Sound Conference title. That was in 2A. There were district tournaments because they chose to do that, but District 3 did not choose to do district tournaments. So that was it, 9-0 in the South Sound Conference title. Over on the baseball field, Chance Doughty hit .463 with a .521 on-base percentage. Also hit four homers, so he was a underclassman and did well. And that's what I've got for the Hawks.
Okay, how about North Thurston?
Well, that's the next one on my list as well, so we're on the same page here.
Okay.
Back in the spring, Alonzo Ogadez was a junior, and he established himself as a scoring threat in boys soccer, made the Olympians all-area team, and Lawrence Hamilton anchored the Rams' defense in boys soccer.
All right, very good. And keeping it lacy, Timberline.
Well, they had some little bit of something going on in all the team sports during the spring. In soccer, Declan Lyon was an all-area choice for the Blazers on defense. In baseball, outfielder Chris Rivera was the 3A South Sound Conference Player of the Year after hitting .667 with five home runs.
Wow.
I just think it back to me, myself trying to play baseball and trying to get a hit at least once in a while. And here's guys getting a hit two-thirds of his time at the plate. It's pretty impressive.
It's phenomenal.
It really is. And then they had the Player of the Year also in the girls with catcher Tori Trotter. She, oh, man, I just talked about .667. Tori hit .763.
Wow.
That means that over three-quarters of her at-bats ended up with her on base by a hit. She had a slugging percentage of 1.474. I believe they call that video game numbers. And then they had a freshman star in Jasmine Polanco, obviously a sophomore this year. Jasmine struck out 112 batters as a pitcher, and she batted .636. And they had another all-area selection in the form of Mackenzie Camas. So all the Timberline teams looked to be returning someone who was very solid to build around.
All right, that should be fun. Out on the prairie where the dust devils grow into tornadoes.
Yeah, we're going to talk mostly about softball. In fact, exclusively about softball here, but they did have a loaded squad of players that were underclass players that should have some time left for them. They had lefty Vivian Watts. She was an all-area pitcher with a 1.83 ERA and a 1.04 whip. Those of you who are analytically deprived, that means walks and hits, walks plus hits in innings pitched, divided by innings pitched. So that means she was giving up one runner an inning, which is pretty good. Even at the big league level, that would be tough. They had third baseman Ashlyn Avon. She batted .463 with four homers, drove in 20 runs. And right next to her, shortstop Kaylee Thompson batted .531. Scoring 26 runs and driving in 17. So, as always, Yelm will probably be pretty good in softball.
All right. A lot of activity out there. Well, that brings us back to the Capitol and Capitol Cougars.
Yeah, Capitol Cougars. I just was reading up on these girls last night. People remember Hannah and Amanda Mall. That is Capitol's junior pole vaulting twins. And Noel, they have now established themselves as the best two vaulters from the same school in U.S. history.
Wow.
Yeah, but I believe that means girls. But in January, Hannah, who over the time that I've been following them, she's kind of, I don't want to say lagged because she's still one of the best in the country, but she's been a little bit behind her sister a lot of time. She ended that in January at a meet down in Texas. She jumped 14.8 in a elite pole vault kind of showcase down there. I think they call it the Pole Vault Summit. And in past seasons, Amanda had cleared almost that high, 14.7 and a quarter. And if you don't follow track and field, let's just put it this way. Last season in the 3A South Sound Conference meet at North Thurston, they did not jump with the girls. They waited to jump with the boys because the girls would provide them with absolutely no competition. There was people with, you know, barely jumping 9 feet and that sort of thing. The boys competed. Kyler Ronquillo, who we talk a lot about during football season, won the boys' pole vault championship at 12 foot something. And these girls just kept on going, got up over 14 feet. So if you are at all a track and field fan, you need to make it out to see Capitol at least once this year because this isn't going to be seen again anytime soon. You never want to say it'll never be seen in the area again because, you know, obviously records are made to be broken and athletes get better and better as time goes on. But to have two girls, two twins, jumping for the same school that have each cleared at least 14.7, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's really fantastic. So we'll see what they do during the school season. Hopefully there aren't too many international type meets that take them away from Capitol's schedule. But just an amazing thing to have them jumping around here right now.
And it is an opportunity. I know that, you know, we think way back to when Phil and Steve Mayer won silver and gold medals in the Olympics. If you were a White Pass regular, you had gotten to see them ski and you can say, you know, oh, gosh, I saw those guys. Well, when these girls vault for gold and silver in the Olympics, you're going to want to be able to say that same thing, I think.
Yeah, it'd be amazing if they were able to make it to the Olympics. That's the flip side of this is we always think like, wow, they're awesome. They're the best ever. But there are a bunch of other girls that are
sure
closing in, you know, that are about as good as them in the country. So the Olympics is still a shining beacon out there for them to try for. But, you know, they're of that caliber. There's no doubt. If they don't go to the Olympics, it'll just because somebody else had a better day at the trials, you know, whatever year that is that they try it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we usually don't. It's hard to see this coming in other sports. If you have a tremendous baseball player at a school, you don't know he's going to make the major leagues. It just looks like he might. But these girls, for their age group, they're already in the major leagues. I mean, they're doing things. You know, that 14.8 by Hannah is the second best high school jump. So, you know, they're already doing things that indicate that they are among the best.
Yeah. All right. And we close out with the other capital team, Olympia, and the Olympia Bears.
Yeah, and same kind of deal. We've got people in each of the sports for them that are pretty good. Connor Johnson has been thought about as perhaps the best center back for the Bears since before the turn of the century in boys soccer. So he was an underclassman last year. Baseball, hard-throwing, all-area pitcher Ryan Ryland Hayter. He's like Tumwater's Ryan Orr. He's a WSU commit. He's back. And in softball, Sammy Potvin made a big splash as a freshman. She earned 4A SPSL South Pitcher of the Year honors with a 0.88 earned run average. You know, anything under a one means you're probably not going to give up a run.
Yeah.
That's pretty good pitching. And believe it or not, she's not alone in the circle for them. They had a first-team all 4A SPL choice, Tori Smith. She was the second pitcher, and she also batted 471. So each of the team sports having a strong athlete. And, of course, on the track, Ethan Coleman, who's headed for Notre Dame. He did extremely well during the fall in cross country, and he should do well in his final track season as well.
All right. There we go. Thank you for all of that update as we take a look at spring. That's about wraps it up. Dave, you got weekend plans?
I'm just going to try to get caught up on some rest.
There you go.
A little bit of paperwork.
All right. I'm losing you a little bit. I got a busy weekend. My wife's birthday is Monday, and she's scheduled to go to prison. Going to Alcatraz. We're going to leave right after the show today for a San Francisco road trip. We'll be on the noon boat for the tour to the Rock.
I lived in the Bay Area for 45 years, and the first time I went to Alcatraz was as a tourist when I was visiting from here.
All right.
Went with my daughter and her boyfriend out there, took the requisite pictures of ripping the bars and all that. So
all right.
It'll be fun. You'll like it. A lot of walking once you get to the island, though. There's some steeping.
I bet there is. I got to look forward to that. All right. Thanks, Dave, and thank you for joining us. It is The Baseline. Thanks to Kevin Huffer. And join us next Friday morning at 8 o'clock right here on 95.3 KGY.